Good morning and welcome to Grendene's conference call to discuss results relative to the second quarter 2016. This conference call is being conducted in Portuguese only, with simultaneous translation into English. At this moment, all participants are connected in listen-only mode. Later, we'll start a Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should you need assistance during the call, you may reach the operator by pressing star zero. This conference is being recorded and will be made available at ri.grendene.com.br. Today with us, we have the company's main executives, who will also be available for the Q&A session. Mr. Rudimar Dall'Onder, CEO, Gelson Luiz Rostirolla, Vice President, and Francisco Schmidt, CFO and IRO, as well as other company's managers. The press release relative to the second quarter 2016 is also available at ri.grendene.com.br in both Portuguese and English. Before proceeding, I'd like to remind you that forward-looking statements made during this call about the company's operating and financial outlooks are predictions based on the company's management's expectations concerning the future of the company. Such forward-looking statements are dependent on market conditions, on the country's economic performance, and also on international markets. I'd like now to turn the conference over to Mr. Francisco Schmidt, CFO and IRO. Mr. Schmidt, you have the floor.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for participating in our conference call, where we'll discuss second quarter results. I'll be brief in this first comment. I'll highlight the most relevant aspects so that we can have more time at the end for the Q&A. Before we discuss the company's performance, I'd like to draw your attention to the dividend payout. In the second quarter of 2016, Grendene anticipated dividend payouts in the amount of 45.5 million BRL, up 3.7% from the dividend payout which took place in the second quarter 2015, which sat at 43.9 million, and that totals 126.7 million in the half, up 13.9% when compared to the first half of 2015, which is the equivalent to 0.15 per share, which will be paid out starting on August 17th, 2016. Holders of common shares will be entitled to those dividends. They have to be registered in the company's records by August 2nd of 2016, which is the cutoff date. Ex-dividends will be paid out starting on August 3rd, 2016, at the BMF Bovespa. Let's move on to our numbers. Our results were good in the second quarter of 2016, with a solid growth of 28.6% in our operating profit, the EBIT, boosted by a recovery in the internal market and also by a strict cost discipline. Gross revenues in the internal market grew by 15.7%, showing growth in volume of 13.3% and a 2.1% hike in prices, making up for a total growth in revenues of 8.1%. On the other hand, the cost of goods sold dropped by 0.1%, leading to a result in the gross margin of 400 basis points. As a result, our net profit grew by 4.9%, reaching 93 million reais in the second quarter of 2016, which meant a margin of 22.9%. That is a point I'd like to highlight as the most distinguishing factor for the quarter, given the fact that the economic
scenario or the market scenario hasn't changed that much, but I do believe it's worth mentioning our discipline in terms of costs and productivity gains, which allowed us to reach such a positive result. Exports are still being affected negatively by countries in Latin America, Africa, Oceania, and the Middle East. All have been impacted to some degree by the drop in international prices of commodities. That drop is partially offset by the FX rate, which produced positive effects in our exports in the amount of 58.1 billion reais in the first half of 2016. Exports revenues in U.S. dollars in the first half of the year dropped by 19.3%, and in BRLs, it went up 0.9% when compared to the first half of 2015. It's also important to highlight, in terms of exports, the large number of destinations we export to. That's more than 100 countries. So we've always been influenced by economic variations from markets where performance is not that positive. In the current scenario, we see a worsening in those countries which are closely connected to commodities, without the equivalent improvement in more developed countries, such as the U.S. and Europe countries, which could be used to offset that drop that we see in other countries. The prices of our inputs have been basically flat with an uptrend due to the FX rate, which are offset by a downtrend in the price of commodities. The elements which negatively affect the results are labor costs, which are influenced by a hike in the minimum wage by 11.7% in the first semester of 2016, which was broadly offset by productivity gains. Also, the increasingly tax burden and a slow market, which imply lower volumes and a difficulty in absorbing fixed costs. Our response to that scenario, as I mentioned before, is to enforce a solid management of costs and product portfolio, which allowed us to close the semester with a net income of 236.6 million reais, up 4.5% from last year, and the dividend payout of 127 million reais, including all interest on own capital. In our evaluation, from our review, for 2016, volumes will, in all likelihood, be lower, which is not different from our first evaluation. Gaining market share will continue to be a challenge, and exports results will, of course, depend on the evolution of the FX rate. It's important to remind you that we are profitable with the current currency exchange rate. Even when that rate was at 1.6 reais per U.S. dollar, we still exported and produced positive results. But obviously, we'll be even more profitable if we have a higher FX rate, especially in the fourth quarter when our export volumes is higher. Our policy will continue to be one of preserving margins and, whenever possible, get higher absolute results. We also expect the economic environment to stabilize somewhat, but right now it's difficult to predict when and to what extent that recovery will take place. Still, according to our evaluation, necessary macro actions for a possible reversal of the economic landscape will only be possible after we have some political definitions, and which depend on the action of the Congress, and which you all know. So whether we'll be risking not meeting our expectations is relatively high. In other words, our ability to predict results in the current economic scenario is lower. We continue pursuing the results we set forth to, and as we adapt to the current scenario. But of course, we cannot anticipate how much and until when the Brazilian economy will still backtrack. Additionally, high public deficit, the lack of fiscal control, the growth in public debt, and the bankruptcy situation of several Brazilian states indicate
that we'll continue to have tax increases and monetary squeezes in the future, which can actually already be seen in this year, where we have seen several increases, as our press release shows. On the other hand, our thorough financial independence, our positioning in international markets, and our ability to adapt are positive drivers that will help us face this harsh reality. For all those reasons, we will keep our goals, even though we are aware of the risks entailed when we try to anticipate the future. Just as a reminder, those targets are a growth in gross revenue in the period from 2018 through 2018, 10 years, of a compound rate between 8% and 12%. Net profit in the same period would grow between 12 and 15% if we keep marketing expenses at the 8 to 10% bracket of the net revenue. That's what I had to say. At first, we can now move on to the Q&A session or comments that you may have. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star 1. To remove your question from the queue, please press star 2. Again, to ask a question, press star 1. Question comes from Mrs. Cristiane Ferreira from Geração Futuro. Good morning. Congratulations on your results. Quite positive and surprising when we consider the market in Brazil. I'd like to know, and I know, as you did say, it's difficult to anticipate results, but we see a positive result in the internal market. I'd like you to give us some color in terms of second half internal volume and consolidated numbers in terms of margins. What can you expect? Can we expect some margin gains in the second half, or can we expect something similar to what we had last year, a flat or even a slight drop? Thank you. I'm sorry. My microphone was in mute, and I was already answering your question, so I repeat my answer. Well, speaking of our margins to begin, our gross margin, which is directly affected by our industrial operation, what I can tell you about this is that today we have a plant with a more efficient industrial performance, which results from productivity gains, from changes in processes, from automation of certain areas, and several investments we have made, which I have already mentioned to the same investors public, which were investments that we made right after we increased our capacity. At the time, I called that process a complement to our capacity in terms of logistics, in terms of internal processes. And with that, we have managed to gain competitiveness and an ability that even facing an inflationary scenario of cost increase, we still managed to keep growing and to maintain our costs low. Of course, right now, one important negative, if you will, factor are the reduced volumes, reduced when compared to last year's numbers. And that turns that gross margin gain somewhat disappear from our radar. So just going back to 2011, when we had lower volumes but good margins, even higher than the previous years, when volumes went back up, margins grew also. So for the second half, it's difficult to predict when we resume previous volume levels. And I'd say that we are very unlikely to see significant growth in volume. Our expectations for the year, as it was said, is that we will have lower volumes when compared to 2015. Last year, we reached 180 million pairs for both the internal and external market, and this year, we will reach a lower number in all likelihood. In the external market, for example, we see a sharper drop in countries that depend on commodities. That will not be solved this year. So our exports volume are likely to remain below last year's levels. As for the internal market, when we closed the first quarter and we talked to market people, to store owners, to all the chain involved in our business, the attitude they had was totally negative, very pessimistic. And we realized that many retailers reduced their inventories to a minimum level because of the cost of money, because of a fear of holding too much inventory. Of course, there is a limit to that process. When the retailer realizes that his inventories are so low that he starts losing sales, they will start replenishing their inventories. And that's what we're going through right now. There's a certain relief, if you will. People are not optimistic, of course, not excited. Nobody thinks we'll have a great second half, but we do not have the same level of pessimism that we saw in the first quarter. But we only know where our economy is going when those political definitions finally emerge. Several economic analysts say that performance will be in an uptrend until September or October. When we look at unemployment, we look at a drop in income, a drop in purchasing power on the part of the population, which of course affects the consumption sector as a whole. What we can do to respond to that is to try and gain productivity and try and manage our portfolio in the most efficient way, more fitting to the current scenario. So just in summary, we do believe our margins will be slightly higher than last year's, and volumes will probably sit below that year's level. But it's difficult to talk about net income. Whether it will be higher or lower, we don't know. We're still implementing some initiatives in terms of taxes, which will have an impact. So again, it's very difficult to say where we'll be by year's end in terms of net profit. And we're taking as a basis our adjusted income, which sat at 603 million. I don't know if I have answered your question, but that's how far I can go. Yes, yes. Thank you. Just an update.
Not long ago, you had OCS, and I would like to know if this environment where you're going to have replacements of cash, and whether the collection was a little bit more optimistic. Well, all of these granting fairs are opportunities for us to exchange information, and in terms of sales, they don't really have an effect in face of our volumes. So 2 or 3 days of fairs oftentimes has a negative impact in terms of sales because people are there in the fairs and they're not at the base there taking orders. And so I think that in terms of this exchange of ideas and this exchange of expectations, this is what we've seen, not only in Francal, but all of the other events we've been participating in. We have Pipi's Fair, which takes place before Francal here in the South, and therefore the participation in these events where we have a significant contact with representatives, distributors, and so forth. This is when you can really assess what the average expectation of the market is. And so what I've just said about the enthusiasm of people and the confidence level is increasing, and it represents a sum of all of the contacts we've had. And in terms of orders, as I mentioned, 2 or 3 days of a fair won't really make a difference in terms of our sales rates. Thank you very much. Next question, André Santoro, Brazil. Hi, Francisco. This is Gelson Rudimar. Congratulations for the results. I think that the results are really good, and I congratulate you for the wonderful work you've done. I would like to ask you a question and then maybe see if we can really understand a lot. Project 8202 in Ceará, and I would like to make it very clear that we have not had a definition by the governor in terms of this project. The first question would be, okay, would this deposit be adjusted, or what are you doing? How are negotiations moving on in terms of this initiative in the state of Ceará? And then the second thing I wanted to ask is I would like to better understand what we discussed yesterday, because I know that you're now distributing profits and the local ICMS, so you've stopped distributing what used to be a subsidy of the state taxes. So what's going to happen is that you have to use the 10% that you're not distributing and then maybe make a deposit for the government of the state of Ceará, and then if you have something similar to CDI, then you have that cash with and obtain some interest on top of that. Well, thank you very much for the question. But that's not the case. We would like it to be, but it's not so. In fact, what has advanced from yesterday to today, we have had a text of this law published. We haven't seen it yet. It has not been approved by the governor, and it has not been published. But all of the comments I made were based on a law project, and therefore, if you've already read such a bill, we know that we have so many amendments and they have nothing to do with this. And in the end, everything is summarized in the law itself and the body of the law, and that's going to be approved by the governor. And this morning, this text came up, and it is a shorter project. The bill had 90 pages, and what we've received has 2 or 3 pages only. But everything is moving in the direction that this deposit will not be returned and we won't receive any interest. On the other hand, you have an extension of the deadline of the incentives for a twofold period. And one thing new in the law, and I will only comment it so that if you have any interest, you can analyze it, because we have actually not had enough time to study this. But what you have there is the following. If you have a sales increase in the domestic market compared to the same period last year of 10%, then you don't have to deposit anything. But if you have an increase of 5%, you will deposit the equivalent share to make up the 10%. In other words, the objective is to have an increase in ICMS in the order of 10%. And if you have any sales increase, that's good. You don't have to deposit anything. And if you don't, then you will have to get 10% and deposit in that fund. You won't receive any interest rates, as far as I understood this bill so far. But we may have further changes to be made by the governor, and we will only have a definitive decision when this law is published. And then after that, it will be enforced on the following day. In the subsequent month after its publication, and therefore, if it's not published between today and Sunday, this is only going to be valid after September. So this is all we know so far. And we have a relief in terms of if we have an increase of up to 10%, then we can, in the domestic market, and we're always talking about operations that are subject to ICMS, then we may be waived of this deposit. Okay, so just to confirm this, in this quarter, we know that we will not have any changes in the current rule, and we're not going to have any extension of this deadline. Or what is valid? Is it the quarter's result? Well, now you should evaluate it month by month. But let's suppose that we have the 15% of this period of time, and then we would not have to deposit anything. And we haven't seen anything in terms of having this deadline expanded. But I think that would be really complicated, and we'd have to analyze it on a case-by-case basis and really analyze the law. Nothing has been mentioned in terms of if the company is in default and does not deposit because the growth has been bigger, then there's nothing there in this regard. And this is the rationale. And this quarter, we wouldn't have it. I didn't mention dividends, but you're right. We are not distributing dividends, the amounts obtained by tax incentives, because right now we consider taxation to be too high. And that's why we have decided not to do it. But this may be object of changes in policies. But so far, we have not decided anything yet, and we do not even have any proposals in the board. And that also has not been mentioned in our reports. But there's always a possibility. Okay, perfect. Once again, congratulations for the results, and thank you for your answer. Thank you. Once again, I'd like to remind you that to ask any questions, all you have to dial is star 1. Once again, to ask questions, all you have to do is dial star 1. We're now going to end our Q&A session, and would like to pass the floor to Mr. Francisco Schmidt for his final considerations. Well, once again, our ability to deliver results in a diverse scenario has been tested and proven, which really encourages us to do a better job and improve our business model. I thank you all for participating in this audio conference. Brandine's audio conference is closed. We thank you all for your participation and wish you a good day. Thank you for using Chorus Call. We thank you very much for your presence.